to Philippians chapter 3. Meditation, which is something that we read before we get into the Word, and I just want you to read it in a spirit of understanding so that you can depart stronger than you were when you came in. So let us read our prayer meditation together. Dear Lord, I come before Thee as an empty vessel. Open my ears that I might hear. Open my eyes that I might see. Open my mind that I might understand. Open my heart that I may receive Your word. We are doing a systematic study, verse by verse, of Philippians chapter 3. We have entitled this chapter, What Matters Most? And it is in this setting that Paul acknowledges unto us that he has not yet arrived. He hasn't made the level that he knows God has in store for him. What I want to do is just quickly bring you up to speed as to where we are within this chapter, and we'll move forward. We are now at verses 13 and 14, where Paul gives us the secret for his spirit of endurance. And it is here that I have focused on the thought that Paul says the key is conquering by continuing. Conquering by continuing. And what Paul does here in these verses is lay out his formula that he expects of us as believers to follow. We have discussed thus far two parts of Paul's formula. That particular portion of text is actually found in verse 13. I'm going to quickly give you what that formula, those formulas were, so that we can move forward. The very first thing that Paul says to us is that we are to forget the past. And the question may be how. He says to us, by forgetting those things which are behind. We've already talked about that. Then Paul says there is the second part of the formula. And there Paul says that we are to reach for the future. Reach for the future. And we arrived at that because Paul says, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. On today, we are to now look at Paul's third formula, which is actually found in verse 14 of the text. That is, it is found in Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. And it is here that Paul says to us, now that you forget those things which are behind, now that you reach toward those things which are before, he says to us, the goal is to press toward the goal. Press toward the goal. We come to this conclusion as we look now at what Paul shares with us in verse 14. In verse 14, Paul simply says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, in order to understand this, I want to quickly back up and show you something so that you can make the proper transition. When Paul, earlier in verse 13, mentioned the statement, one thing. Remember, Paul says, one thing I do. I need you to understand is that it is here that Paul now gives us the answer to the one thing. And the one thing happens to be, I press toward the goal. When Paul says, I press toward the goal, we see now fervency in action. All right. I want to take a moment and emphasize this concept, this idea, this recommendation about pressing. Here you see the level of tenacity. Here you see the act of Paul moving toward the goal. All of this is found in the one word called press. That's powerful. The word press here simply means tenacity. It means fervency. Now let me help us all out. You can't be pretty and press. You have to be ugly and press. Are you with me? You cannot be focused and worried about what other folk think or say, or even with them looking at you. That word press is so powerful. It comes from a Greek word which simply allows us to understand that Paul is talking about that which I follow after. That which I follow after. So the word press then literally means pursue. Okay? Listen to what Paul says. He's letting us know now that he pursues something. We haven't gotten there yet, but that word press means to pursue. It describes that which Paul says, I have focused, I am concentrated on. Remember a couple of Sundays back, I talked about the importance of knowing how to focus. And there's no need to press if you are not focused. So when Paul says that he has this spirit of vigor, he has this idea of being so persistent, he can't quit. Now here's what's important about the statement. It is in the present tense. I want you to recognize that. When he says, I press toward, it's in the present tense, which Paul is telling us, I'm not talking about I pressed last week so I can relax this week. That's not what Paul is talking about. Paul is saying this is continuous action, that every morning I wake up, every day that God blesses me with, I press. That's a problem for Christians, because we like to focus on what we've already done. Can't do that. Because when you focus now, remember what we made mention of about forgetting. You have to forget last week's victory. Why? Because this week got his own hell coming with it. And if you're not careful, you are focused on what happened last week and forget to take hold of what you got to do this week. So Paul says, I press. I need to bring you a bit of news. And that is, you will not reach spiritual goals. Please understand this. You will not reach spiritual goals without fervency and tenacity. You would not be blessed if you were a quitter. Am I making sense to you? You can sit down all day long and weep and mourn and cry and just, I don't know what I'm going to do. Shut up. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. And if God bless you with breath in your body, victory is yours. That's the attitude. That's what Paul is teaching us here in the statement. Watch now what Paul says as we pull it apart. Paul goes on to say, I press toward the goal. Paul knew who he was, and he knew where he was going. See, one of the problems we face, we don't know who we are. And we have no idea on where we're going. You ever been in a car with somebody that you have to ask them, based on the conversation, they're in the wrong community for where they say they're going? I'm talking to all you non-driving folk that got no sense of direction. You talking about Walmart, but you are not driving nowhere near where your conversation is. Am I making sense to you? In the text, Paul is telling us, I know who I am and I know where I am going. How can I prove it? He says, I press toward the goal. I want you to write down the word goal, because the word goal comes from a very unusual Greek word. And that word means to see. It means to look. Now, pay attention now. If you got a goal set in front of you, then you ought to see something. Am I making sense to you? You ought to have some idea of what you're looking at. So Paul says, I press toward the goal. The Greek word that Paul uses here is how we arrive at two words in the English language. That's to let us know how powerful it is when you say, I press toward the goal. First, this is how we arrive at the word telescope. See, the idea of the goal comes from that Greek word scopus, which actually tells us telescope. So when we say telescope, we are talking about seeing far. At the same time, it's also where we get the word microscope, which means to see small things. So now listen to Paul. Paul is teaching us that whether we see our goal realistically, physically, or whether we got our minds fixed on it, doesn't matter. What Paul is trying to show us, you need a goal in front of you. One of the worst things a Christian can do is to just be doing stuff and don't make no sense. I mean, you ought to have a goal set. What is it you want to do in life? Where do you want to go? What are your plans? How do you want to get there? When do you want to arrive there? But my goodness, have a goal. And you can ask that. I don't know. You mean to tell me you've been in a relationship with God that long and you don't have a goal? Sometimes we don't have a goal because we allow other people to talk us out of the goal. You sit down and listen to negative thinking people. Well, you know now, if you're going to do that, you be the first one in your family. And what's your point? What is your point? So Paul in the text says, the goal, what one sees. So I got to ask you a question. What do you see? What do you see now? The reason sometimes we don't obtain what's there, we don't see nothing. You got to see it in your mind. You got to know without a doubt. When Paul uses the word I press toward the goal, he has reference to the runner on the race track. A runner, have you ever watched track and noticed that the person running, if they can just make that lap and get close to the point where they can see the finish line, they get a burst of energy. And you'll be wondering, how in the world can they run like that? Can I tell you the answer? They see the goal. They see that they are right at the finish line, right at that point. They're close. Listen to what the writer of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. He simply says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You got to understand it's pressing time. I told y'all months back, way back when the pandemic was hot, top topic, it messed us up. And tell you why it messed us up. Because many of us were pressing based on events. I don't need an amen. I'm just going to tell the truth. We had a misconception about church. We had to come to feel good. And we got messed up when the choir couldn't sing. Because you failed to realize that all the choir could do was to try to encourage you to press, but they couldn't press for you. Which meant then you should have stepped your butt out of your car with a hymn in your own heart. Your own attitude should have been, come hell or high water, I'm up in here because I got to press. But it messed us up. Then we couldn't meet during the week. Ministries couldn't meet. Boy, y'all quiet up in here. Why? Because we just like to meet. So we can say, us had a meeting. I hope y'all listening. That was the attitude. So what ended up happening, there was some sifting going on. And folk that had a commitment with God kept coming to church with the mask on. Boy, y'all. And folk who you don't see much didn't come around where you know the pandemic. But you're in the street. I never understood. You're in the street. My question is, do you know your pressing ability? Because when you see what you see, folk will not encourage you to stop pressing. Okay. Watch Paul. Paul says, I press toward the goal for the prize. Write down the word prize in your text. When Paul says, we see favor from action. First, it was fervency in action. Now, Paul says, I'm not just doing what I'm doing for the sake of doing it. Look at the wording that he used. He says, I'm after the prize. Stay with me. Some folk just in the race. No, let me back up. Some folk just on the track. You ain't doing no running, but you are sitting on the track. Got a whole lot of mouth just sitting on the track. Hear your complaints. I would run, but it's just too hot out here. I would run, but child, I worked last week, and I'm tired. All you doing is sitting on the track. Then there are others who like the outfit that the runners got on. So you figured, let me put my uniform on so I could at least look like I'm an awesome runner. All you're doing is wearing You just wearing a uniform. Then you got some folk, they will start at the starting line. I'm just waiting on him to shoot the gun so I can take off. Your issue is you want to be seen. You waiting on somebody to say, girl, look at that. I'm so proud of her. And you fail to realize whether they're proud of you or not, they are not issuing the prize. Then you got some who just like the idea they in the race. Well, you're not going to put forth no effort. Child, I'm just out here. He know I'm tired. Paul says, I'm not running just to be seen. I'm not running to indicate I'm in the race. I'm not just interested in crossing the finish line. Y'all better read what the text says. Paul says, I'm chasing the prize. Look at it in the text. I'm after the prize. The problem with us is we like the attention. They put my name in the paper. They asked me to be the head of a ministry. That's why I went over there. They ain't have nobody. And I'm good at this. Paul is saying, hold it, stop. Don't just run in the race. Don't just cross the finish line. Go for the prize. Boy, y'all. Go for the, see, prize runners don't quit easily. Folk get mad with stupid stuff and quit the race. And then have the audacity to analyze the homegoing service. As if what the preacher said could put somebody in heaven. You better run with dignity and run with grace, but you better be more concerned with just crossing the finish line. You better be after the prize. Get what God got in store for you. Boy, y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. Watch the text. Listen to this. Listen to Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 26. Watch it. He says, therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. Some saints ain't doing nothing but making noise. Just making noise. Paul said, have some perspective about what you're doing. See, when you got a goal set, it doesn't matter what folks saying about you, whether it's negative or positive. You ain't running for them. You got a goal set. You after the prize. But if you ain't careful, you get caught up in what folks say. And you do know, folks in the stands, even folks on the track, boy, watch Paul again. Verse 24. Watch what he says. Watch it. Listen. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. I have not figured it out yet how folk let other folk get them off the track. I don't understand that. I really don't. Well, you know, they don't like me. Who cares? I'm not trying to be funny. I'm trying to help you out. You don't walk off a job that's paying you because John don't like you. You better stay focused, and I'm going to help you out. Light bill, gas bill, food on the table. Boy, yeah. I'm not going to take that. Think twice. You are chasing after an incorruptible prize. What I'm after, y'all can't vote against it. Ain't that good news? To be able to get to heaven and God got a crown waiting on you and ain't going to ask nobody to vote. Does anybody know Paul? If the Lord doesn't know me, watch him. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25. Watch him now. He says, and everyone who what competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown. But we, for an imperishable crown. Boy, I'm going to say something now, and I want you to just cringe sitting there. We will work like hell to do things that ain't worth the time of day. I've seen people render service just to be seen. Notoriety. What I want you to understand is, when your homegoing service time comes, God don't pass me no piece of paper and say, Paul, write down what John Doe did and pass it here. I want to drop a bullet in your spirit. May the works I've done speak. May the service I render speak. But I told y'all months back, way back when the pandemic hit, I said, us in trouble. Because we like position, we like titles, and we come in doors on Sunday morning criticizing worship. Critiquing. And then we couldn't do any of them things, and it boiled down to a personal relationship with God. You either knew God for yourself or you didn't know him. Oh, boy, yeah. Boy. He wants us to understand. Watch Paul. Watch the text. Near the end, Paul goes on and he says, the prize. Watch what he says. Gives us a name. He says, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, when Paul makes that statement, there's a possibility that Paul has reference to two things, which means it has a twofold meaning. The very first one is, it's a possibility that he's talking about the calling at the time of salvation. Y'all just hear me? When Paul made that statement, it's possible he's talking about the calling of salvation, which talks in essence the purpose of God. The purpose of God for a particular individual. Got me? That's possible. Then there's a second possibility, and that is he's talking about the time of rewards at the end of a Christian's life. Got me? Now, let me mess with you. I believe Paul has both of them in mind. He has both in mind. In other words, Paul is saying, I want to make sure you understand the importance of being faithful in the race. Faithful in the race. And that's what I learned in the midst of this pandemic. Folk weren't faithful to start with. They were showboats. They were wannabes. Boy, y'all so quiet up in here. I'm just teaching facts. Your goal is to be faithful to him. I'm at my desk, and he says to me, teach my word if it ain't but two folk up in here. You and somebody else. And then he turned around and said, and you know you ain't got to have no music. But we had lost all that. Because we had become accustomed to everything being laid out. We didn't have to do anything to worship. So we turned to critiquing worship. I just didn't like that song the choir was singing. But you ain't hummed nothing. Boy, y'all quiet up in here. You didn't even open your mouth. I don't know why they gave that song to her. Where your song? Boy, this ain't time for no. I need you to understand the urgency behind all of this. Let me take you right quick. Matthew chapter 10, verse 22. Listen, Jesus said this. Listen. And he says, you will be hated by everyone because of me. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. Please understand something. This was a time of testimony when this statement was made. And Christ assures us that if your relationship with him is right, you're going to get hated. You go, look at the text. It makes it clear. But some believers are able to be friend with everybody. Everybody. Can I tell you why? Because they got a weak testimony. See, when you tell the truth, you don't always have followers. Boy, y'all done got quiet. When you tell people God is able, listen to the statement. Some Christians, and I want y'all to get this, write this down in your notes. Some Christians are not persecuted simply because their testimony is weak and it goes unnoticed. Boy, y'all better get it. See, ain't nobody talking about you because your light ain't on. Ain't nobody talking about you because you ain't doing nothing. But when folks start lying, meeting to discuss stuff they know ain't true, but they want to make it true, you must be about something. Why? They ain't got no reason to meet on those they already have. Whoa! So the question is, listen to me good. Does anybody know you've been born again? How do you act when you go to work and they in the break room talking about needing a good stiff drink? Do you just join in and be just to be friends and say, I know what you mean? You don't have to condemn them for a stiff drink, but you ought to at least say, I'm glad I got to the point. I used to depend on a drink. Oh, but now, since I've been washed in the blood, I don't need a drink. All I got to do is have a little talk. Listen to Paul. Paul, even in his own book, the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verse 12, listen to what Paul says. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue. Now, this here is the part I want to end on. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Look at the text. Paul is saying to us, he's making it known that believers cannot become spiritual by themselves. Right. You ain't all that just because you showed up church. Right. Oh, I'm a child of the King. You are? Yes. I have to be at church. Yeah. Wrong statement. Right. Why? Satan goes to church. Yeah. Ask Job. And he wasn't late. First one up in the house. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can't become who you need to be by yourself. What you must understand, you can only become who God desires of you to be with God's help. So watch Paul. Look at this statement now. Watch it. When Paul says, work out your what? Own what? Salvation with what? Fear and trembling. I want to give you three things that I want you to keep in mind if you're going to work out your own soul salvation. Please understand it. The very first one is dealing with the time of the work. See, some of us ain't working. We just figure he in the house and I got him. Nope, that's not what text says. Text says that once he enters, you got a job. You got a responsibility. You can't work to get saved, but you can work out your salvation. What am I talking about? Listen to what Paul says. Not as in my presence only, but now much more in my what? Absence. I've had to do a lot of growing in the last 5 years at this church.
All right.
You can hear a pin fall.
Yeah. Teach it.
Because I had to deal with people that'll render service only in my presence.
Yeah.
Poor y'all got quiet.
Yeah.
Only in my presence. See, the gist of spiritual growth is not what you do when I'm here. It's what you do when I'm absent. So I sat down one Sunday and paid attention when I wasn't present. I was out of the pulpit in someplace else. And I saw folk get up and walk out the door because I wasn't preaching. Let me mess with you now. I'm going to mess with you now. If I am your salvation, you headed to hell already. Because if I die today, my question to you is, where are you with your relationship with God? Paul says, I've taught you well now. If you're going to do something, do it when I'm leaving. But it's amazing how in the... edit this, in the black church, we elevate the black pastor. That's my pastor. Don't love me to death. Do not love me to death. Take what I'm teaching and put it into action. Why? I might die before you do. Enjoy the presence of the Holy Spirit in my homegoing service. But when they pour the dirt on my body, don't you stand there and let them pour dirt on you. Why? Because you still got breath in your body and you ain't crossed no finish line. Boy, y'all done got quiet up in here. That's what Paul meant. If teaching is worth teaching, hold on to what you've been taught. See, good teaching is what children do in the absence of the mom and the dad. Anybody can act holy when they're in their presence. So nice to see you all. Welcome to our home. Yeah, mom and dad is standing there. But if mom and daddy wasn't there, y'all come on in, sit down anywhere you want to sit. We got to go. Second thing. I'm going to take my time. Listen to this. He talks about the object of the work. Look at what he says. Your own salvation. Listen to me good, y'all. Listen to this. A person, if you don't get this, a person cannot work for his or her salvation. Do I need to say that again? No, you can't. Watch this now. But they can work out their spiritual position. Got to beg for it. If you got a job, you can't tell you why cities are messed up. Christians don't take no testimony on their jobs. No, you ain't got to go in the office speaking in tongue and they speak to you and go like da, 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 da. No, you ain't got to do all that. But during your break, something about the goodness of the Lord ought to come out of your mouth. You might have to wait till you get down the street at your favorite eating place, but you ought to say something about the goodness of the Lord. that ain't got nothing to do with work, and they can't accuse you of anything because you're outside the building. But Christians don't say nothing. Christians are quiet. You wouldn't even know if a rascal had a testimony. Because us scared. But I dropped by today to tell y'all, God's been good to little old me. Brought me from a mighty long ways. Come hell or how I can't hold my peace. I got to tell it. Folk were working on the roof the other day. Fella came down, and before long, we were talking about the goodness of the Lord. He forgot about the hammer and the nails. I forgot that I was standing on the outside in the midst of all the pollen. But the goodness of the Lord was our conversation. And it's funny, he was Hispanic. And I understood everything bro man said. Third and final thing. Paul says, not only the time of the work, not only the object of the work, but the attitude of the work. Can I tell you what he said? In fear and trembling. I couldn't stand up in this pulpit and deliver God's word scared. So long time ago, preachers, he said, stop searching for amens. Don't worry about it. Just go on and get wrapped up in me. So I decided I would ask God to close my ears so I couldn't hear a response. Because some of y'all louder at a ball game than you are at church. Quiet, quiet, quiet. Oh, but I don't need a holler. I can holler all by myself. Because he's been just that. I drop by to tell y'all it's pressing time. Don't press because somebody looking at you. Press because he put food on your table. Press because the other week he was a doctor. And diagnosed your situation. You thought you were physically sick, but you were spiritually sick. But he stepped in your bedroom after midnight and touched you, and you woke up. And all you can remember was just saying, thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you, sir. I wonder how many folk can really press. 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 Can I tell y'all why my shirt tail hanging out? I can't press like I want to press when I'm wearing a three-piece. Boy, you ain't nothing wrong with a three-piece. But the more I get relaxed, the easier it is for me to. Some of y'all ain't sweated since you stepped out the shower. Quiet up in here. You on my time now. Thank you for being here, but press. Don't let nobody steal your blessing. Press. Let them talk. Press. Press. I mean ugly impressing. Don't be tipping. Press. But get right where you're close to the finish line. And just press. I heard my daughter the other Sunday out here telling y'all, Daddy can't handle it. Daddy getting up in age. That's true. I ain't 50 no more. This is my year to hit 70. But I said to the Lord, long as you can help me move. Boy, y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. Some of y'all are stiff because you don't know what exercise is. Sometimes you didn't need to come to church and holler, thank you. Don't sit down and be still and rust. Press. Do I have any pressers up in here? I'm finished. I'm finished. I'm finished. Finish. And can I tell you when it's really time to press? When folk talking about you. Just press. May God bless you. May God keep you. I know they gone. Y'all know something? Oh, y'all better shut y'all mouth. That's what I'm talking about. See, that's the kind of press that I'm talking about. See, when you can just tell me you got me, y'all gonna move on? Oh, I'll help y'all make some music. What you doing? Oh, go on, man. Shut your mouth. Woo! Go on.
All right. Oh, Lord. I said you should lay having good to me. Sitting here thinking about it. Looking back over my life, I said you surely have been good to me. When I was down and out, and I didn't have a dime, you made a way for me so many times. I said you brought me from a mighty, yes, a mighty long way.
Brought me from a mighty long way.
Wait a minute, I got one more. That ain't all you done for me.
Baptism, Christian experience, or by love.